This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
Really, the only reason people know about this issue on more of a national level is because there were local residents making their voices heard and paying attention in their local government.
Sometimes we lose sight of what Audrey Hepburn called that old-fashioned idea that others come first and you come second. This week on Sea Change Radio, we hear from ProPublica reporter Lisa Song, who's done some recent reporting on a little-known problem that could have very big effects: the impact of illegal overbuilding of levee systems in the Midwestern, flood-prone regions of the Mississippi River. The folks responsible are flouting the rules and lobbying to have them changed. Their argument is that they're just trying to protect the communities they represent, but the effect is to make other communities far more vulnerable to flood. The valuable reporting that Song and her colleagues are doing to expose the issue will hopefully help to arm future flood victims against the rising tide of these water district bullies. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Lisa Song. She's a reporter at ProPublica. Lisa, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You were on Sea Change Radio earlier when you worked for Inside Climate News, and then you switched over to ProPublica, and you came out recently with a special series outlining some interesting happenings with levees along the Mississippi River. You co-authored it with Al Shaw and Alex Heeb and Patrick Michaels. We'll link to it on Sea Change Radio. First, why don't you explain what a levee is, why they're important to controlling flooding along the Mississippi River, and how you decided to cover this story?
Sure. So a levee is basically something that people have been building for hundreds of years or even longer. It's basically a hill or an earthen embankment. And these levees are built oftentimes along the banks of rivers to protect the community next to the river from being flooded by the river. And here in the U.S., we have miles and miles of levees all up and down the Mississippi River. And a lot of these levees have been built by the Army Corps of Engineers, which is this federal agency that manages a lot of our water-related infrastructure. So what we found was that in the Midwest, there have been years of suspicion and sort of brewing resentment against what is called overbuilt levees. And one of the things to understand about levees is that, you know, when one community builds a levee, the community on the other side of the river is probably going to want to build a levee too, because as soon as one community builds their levee higher than their neighbors, you create a situation where by protecting one community better, you may end up giving additional flood risk to a nearby community, whether that's a community across the river from you or one that's upstream or downstream from you. So the Army Corps of Engineers actually has these federal rules in place that are meant to prevent this kind of fighting amongst neighbors. And what it means is that if you want to make your levee higher, you need a permit from the Army Corps, and you need to show them that by making your levee higher, you're not going to further endanger your neighbors. And what the federal government has discovered is that on this one particular stretch of the Upper Mississippi River, there are 80 miles of levees that are overbuilt and have been built up without the proper federal permits. And now, for the first time, the Army Corps has put out a very sophisticated model, a computer model built by engineers and scientists, that shows that these overbuilt levees actually are heaping additional flood risk onto neighboring communities.
And why don't you explain what the Snai Island Levee Drainage District is out of Illinois and how you learned about the disparity between their levees and their neighbors.
So there is a community in Illinois that is called the Snai Island Levee Drainage District. And a levee district is basically a local governmental entity that manages and funds the day-to-day maintenance activities of the levee. So this levee system in Illinois is about 54 miles long, and it runs along the Mississippi River. And there are documents showing that as far back as 2008, the local Army Corps officials had noticed that the district had pushed up its levees beyond what was allowable under federal rules. And so since 2008, the Army Corps has been warning the Snai District that it needs to restore its levees back to the authorized heights. And it's had no luck doing that. So the Snai has emerged as one of, as perhaps the most well-known of the local levee districts that have pushed up their levees beyond what they're allowed to do. So when I was first hired at ProPublica about a year ago, I started looking into the Army Corps of Engineers because I was fascinated by them and just wanted to find out more about what they were doing. And one of the interesting stories I read was a local story in a small paper called The Telegraph from Alton, Illinois. And this was a story that talked about the Snai Levee District as one of a handful of districts in the Midwest that had pushed up its levees beyond what was allowable under federal rules. And the reporter who wrote that story was Alex Heeb. And later, he ended up collaborating with us and with another newsroom called Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting to do this series of stories.
By any chance, have you read Rising Tide by John Barry? Because that's how I became fascinated with the idea of the Mississippi and controlling it and the history of the Army Corps of Engineers. For any of our listeners, it's a terrific read.
Yes, it's a really great book. I read it many years ago. And, you know, I think with that book and when people think about levees, they automatically think about the lower Mississippi River and New Orleans, especially because of Hurricane Katrina. And what we wanted to do with our reporting was highlight some of the different issues you see in the upper Mississippi River. One of the things we didn't get into in the story is that the lower Mississippi River is managed by a centralized authority of federal officials and state officials. There's basically one ruling entity that makes the decisions for the lower Mississippi River overall in terms of levees and flooding. It's centrally managed.
And is that because of the 1927 flood?
Yes. After that flood, there was the political will to create a central authority for flood management on the lower Mississippi. But that never happened to the upper Mississippi. And so right now in the upper Midwest, you have a bunch of different state and local entities all trying to fit their management styles together. So there lacks any kind of real central plan for how to manage flooding up there. And that is partly what is leading to some of the problems in the Midwest.
So Lisa, try to explain why this is more important than just one levee district flouting the rules a little bit and how it affects many more people than just the neighbors of Snai Island.
Well, first of all, because we know that the Snai is not the only levee district that has been flouting the rules. We know the Snai has been doing it because it's part of the result of an Army Corps survey where they surveyed more than 200 miles of levees in the upper Mississippi River and found 7 levee districts had done the same, including the Snai. And so we know it's at least a regional problem. And one of the problems is that doing these kinds of surveys to compare the current height of the levees versus what the levees were authorized to be built to is a very expensive and time-consuming thing to do. And I'm not aware of many other local Army Corps offices that have tried to replicate this kind of survey. So as of now, we don't know if this is more of a national problem. But we do know that it is something that could take a while to figure out. And also, we know that the SNI is part of a lobbying effort in Washington, D.C., where they're trying to weaken the Army Corps' authority over levies. So right now, there are about 11 levee and flood control districts that are part of this loosely defined group called the 408 Coalition. And the coalition has spent at least $230,000 on lobbying Congress and the administration to try and basically take away the Army Corps' ability to regulate levee heights. And this is an effort that's coming from levee districts not only in the Midwest, but in the South as well.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to ProPublica reporter Lisa Song. So could you explain how building a levee higher could be a problem? Most people think, well, if we could just build bigger levees, we'll keep our land from flooding in times of high rains. But it's counterintuitive in that sense, isn't it?
Yeah, so one of the problems with levees is levees can be good at keeping small floods out of your community, but at some point there's going to be a massive flood that is going to be higher and bigger than what your levee can protect you against. And when that happens, you're going to experience a catastrophic flood. And that flooding can actually be worse than if there was no levee in the first place. And one of the problems with levees is that they actually push the water in the river higher, because by building a levee, you're constricting the channel and creating this very narrow channel, and the water has nowhere to go but up. So you're basically raising the elevation of the floodwaters in the river. And what that does is it forces the water to go somewhere, and it's going to go to the weakest point in the levee system. So if you happen to live in a town where your levee is lower than those of your neighbors or is just weaker and the water can seep through it, then your town is going to be the first one to get flooded. And that means that, of course, you know, every community naturally wants to make themselves safer by making sure their levee isn't the weakest or the smallest in the system. And so if you don't have regulations, you may end up with what's called a levee's arms race, or levee wars, where people are just trying to make their levees as tall as they want in order to make sure they're not the first ones to get flooded. And this is where regulations come in, so that the government is trying to prevent this kind of thing by happening by creating a level playing field.
It's not just you're saving yourself more than they are. You could harm a district that has a lower levee level. Is that right?
Right. You're not just saving yourself, you're actually adding additional flood risk onto your neighbors.
Why don't you break that down in terms of the studies that are showing what just the SNI levee district alone, what effect their higher levees could have on their neighbors?
So the model we looked at is this sophisticated hydrologic model created by the Army Corps. And when the Army Corps built this model, they simply released the model itself. And you know, you and I would not be able to operate this model or make any sense out of it. You really need an experienced engineer to be able to operate it. And so far, the only publicly released results come from an engineer named Jonathan Remo, and he had done the analysis of the core model on contract for an environmental group called American Rivers. So American Rivers hired him to run the Army Corps model. And what he did was he looked at how the area would be affected if there was another flood as large as the Great Flood of 1993, which was this catastrophic record-breaking flood on the Mississippi River. And he compared what the flood would do to the area if all the levees along the 200 miles were built to their authorized heights versus if all of the levees along those 200 miles were built to their current heights. And so cumulatively, he found that the cumulative impact of the 80 miles of overbuilt levees meant that some areas would get 1.7 feet of extra water. So that they were getting extra flood risk because flood levels in their area would be 1.7 feet higher, simply because their neighbors had built up their levees without the proper permissions. And at the same time, the SNI district, by overbuilding its own levees, was actually saving itself from up to 16 plus feet of flooding. So that alone shows you what a difference it makes.
Sure. We often talk about NIMBYism or not in my backyard attitudes, but this is something even more pernicious. This seems like I got mine, Jack. Just as long as our community is safe, that's what matters. And people are willing to, as evidenced by the 408 Coalition, they're willing to lobby their government to try to ensure that their community is safer than that of their neighbors. As you explored this story more, what did it tell you about human nature in some sense, Lisa?
I think what was surprising to me was that these efforts were coming out of small agricultural communities, right? We don't often imagine that these small communities have a lot of political power, but what it's showing is that when a group of small communities all have the same complaint or concern about a federal rule or regulation, that they can band together and make their voices heard in Congress. And that is what exactly is happening here. What you have are a series of levee districts that have been told, sometimes repeatedly, that they have done something wrong, that they need to seek a federal permit that they don't have. And instead of complying with the government, they've decided to go to Washington, D.C. and try to change the rules so that the government no longer has that control over them. It was pretty surprising to me that this was happening, and it, I think, shows how something that starts off, an argument that starts off at a very local level, can have national implications. And we know that this coalition already in 2016 was successful in, at least they've claimed success for getting rid of two amendments in Congress that might have increased the Corps' authority over levies.
And what do the people who are representing the SNI levy district and the other members of the 408 Coalition, how are they justifying the work that they're doing? They don't look at it as necessarily deleterious to the neighbors, do they?
They really prioritize protecting their communities, and that's, of course, understandable. But also, they are arguing that the Army Corps never had this right in the first place to regulate the heights of levees. They're basically saying, we are the ones who are doing the day-to-day maintenance of these levees. They argue that the Army Corps only started enforcing these levee height regulations pretty recently, and that it's not something legally the Corps has a right to do. The Army Corps does say that, yes, their levee regulations became more strict, and particularly the enforcement of certain levee rules became more strict over time, especially after Hurricane Katrina. And Hurricane Katrina was definitely a wake-up call for the Army Corps that there were flaws in their levee safety program. And so one of the many changes that occurred after the hurricane was a more overall strict enforcement of certain levee regulations.
Crash on a levee, mom, water's gonna overflow. Swamp's gonna rise, no boat's gonna roll. Now you can train on down to Williams Point. You can bust your feet, you can rock this joint. But oh, mama, ain't you gonna miss your best friend now? You're gonna have to find yourself another best friend somehow.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Lisa Song. She's a reporter for ProPublica. So one of the SNI Levee District commissioners, Russell Kohler, he wrote in an email, "Our primary concern with Section 408 is the completely incorrect interpretation of a very old navigation regulation that for over 100 years never, ever applied to levee height and in fact was illegally applied retroactively to us and other levee districts. Of course we're trying to correct this." So that's how he says it. We're just trying to correct something that's an archaic law that is getting in the way of modern technology. Is that a fair assessment in your view?
So the argument here is over the actual statute in the federal regulations that regulates levees. And when the Army Corps reviews levee districts' plans to raise their levees, they do it using a statute from 1899, which specifically says if someone wants to alter a federal project like a levee or a dike or other engineered projects, then they need permission from the Army Corps of Engineers. And that statute also specifically says when considering whether to grant that permission, you have to consider public safety. So what the 408 Coalition and these levee districts are arguing is that this statute was written before the Army Corps was specifically tasked with regulating flood control in this country. And so therefore, they're saying the Army Corps has no right to use this very old law. But the Army Corps says that when it was written, the law was never meant to be applied narrowly, and that it specifically mentions levees and says you need to ask for the Army Corps' permission before modifying these levees. So, you know, this is a sort of thing that is very specific and is really up to lawyers to decide if it gets to a point where the lobbyists are successfully challenging the use of this statute. But for now, the Army Corps is going ahead and using this statute as they interpret it.
So earlier you had mentioned how the southern part of the Mississippi is under one federal agency, and it sounds like there's a little more consolidation in terms of regulatory bodies there. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So can you contrast the different regions of southern Mississippi to the north in terms of how they're being regulated? One is much more consolidated than the other, but in the southern region, they got a good deal of problems as well. You have communities like Isle de Jean Charles, which is being relocated. It's a very fragile ecosystem, and it was devastated, obviously, multiple times throughout modern history.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to remember that no part of the Mississippi River is managed perfectly. The lower Mississippi River still has a lot of problems and challenges. But ultimately, there is a centralized body that manages flood control on the lower Mississippi River. And so you have basically one main organization that is looking at the overall impacts of any changes to levees for the lower Mississippi River. So there is at least one centralized authority, and its decisions take into account what's happening, what the effects would be throughout the lower Mississippi River. When it comes to the upper Mississippi River, there's just much less centralized management. And so you have a patchwork of different federal and state rules and also a lot of local voices. And that makes it just harder to come to any kind of consensus on decisions in that region.
So moving forward, Lisa, what can we expect in this Illinois levy district? How will things change? And if people wanted to follow along, how can they make an impact in seeing the communities are treated fairly and equally, and we're not going to be getting into these levy wars like you have mapped out in your piece?
Well, I will say that we at ProPublica and our partners are not done looking at levies, so we will be continuing to report on this issue and have other stories we plan to write. We've also asked, and this is published at the bottom of our stories, that if any of our readers, any of the people who read this story, believe they have personally been impacted by a neighboring levy, we've asked them to contact us. We would love to hear stories from people from all over the country if they feel they've been impacted by a neighboring levy. And I also think that one of the things that made this story interesting is that a lot of the reason why people have been writing about these issues in the Midwest is because the local communities have been paying attention. There's actually been a lot of national attention on the basic idea of quote-unquote levy wars in the Midwest, and that's partly because there are some local residents who have paid attention to the somewhat obscure rulings and decisions from entities like the Army Corps of Engineers, or they've been paying attention to their local levy district's regular meetings and reports and stuff like that. So really, the only reason people know about this issue on more of a national level is because there were local residents making their voices heard and paying attention in their local government. So I think the more that we have that kind of local engagement, the more you'll hear stories like this and perhaps try to get a more national picture of what's going on with levies.
Lisa Song from ProPublica, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Rodney Jones, Bonorama, and Bob Dylan.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.